Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. Sleeping in my bed. So show me family, all the blood that I will bleed.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 464. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, gorgeous weekend. We're still having a lovely springtime. Springtime in Chicago. It's very, very, very fabulous. I am getting ready to close my show Enron this weekend, the end of a very long run. So if any of you in Chicago want to catch Timeline Theater production of Enron with me in it, you've got through Wednesday through Sunday in which to do so. That's it. TimelineTheater.com. Get your tickets, and I hope you can make it. On today's show, Richard Knight Jr. is taking us to a sexy, highly critically praised film, Deep Blue Sea, with Rachel Weisz, which I am so excited to have some time off so I can go and see these movies. I want to see Hunger Games. I want to see Deep Blue Sea. Richard Knight Jr. bringing you that. The GLBT News with Kirk Williamson, who recorded the news today and headed off to beautiful Latin American countries. So maybe he'll have more to tell us about that when he gets back. Also, what's going on in the GLBT theater besides Enron, which is not very GLBT, but I'm in it, playing a very convincing straight person, I hope. I have to say that I had a good time this weekend watching the Saturday Night Live. Sofia Vergara from The Modern Family. It's a very Modern Family show today on the Windy City Queercast. I have had it in my TiVo, like, the second that I heard that she was going to be hosting, because who really cares if she was going to be funny, because she's just so damn hot. And then she is funny. I mean, I don't think she was the funniest thing on the Saturday Night Live this past weekend, but I really loved the Just Friends booty shorts sketch, which, you know, it was an advertisement for, you know, if people thought you and your friend were gay, perhaps you needed to get these Just Friends booty shorts. And they were these really hot pant little short shorts. That one butt says Just and the other one says Friends, that these two guys are running around New York in, and it was really, really funny. And said, you know, if you like those, you might want to try our not gay tank t-shirts. Which one guy has a white t-shirt that says not, the other one has a white tank top t-shirt that says gay. Really just hilarious. I thought it was so funny and really amazing to have Kate McKinnon, who we talked about in our last podcast with Scott Duff, and we were talking about all things television and all things GLBT, that she was going to be the first gay Saturday Night Live character or artist to be on the show. And she really did a fantastic job. She had a couple of nice moments in the debut. And, you know, I kept thinking, oh, God, they've announced her and now she's not going to be on here, really. But she definitely was. And she was Sofia Vergara, had a really nice sketch where she was featured playing Penelope Cruz. So it was really nice for her to get to do that. And it was a hard sketch and she was really, really good at it. And I'm sure she really loved Sofia Vergara, like sidling up next to her, looking all sexy. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe Sofia Vergara is not her type at all. But I, for her, liked that she was in that position. And then she got to play Tabitha Takes On, you know, for Bravo, spoofing Tabitha. Another one of our, you know, openly gay celebrities, which was also really quite funny and a great, you know, I thought it really showed great character work. It showed that she's going to be one of the artists that can really do accents and characters and really, really great kickoff for her. You know, she seemed to be doing a lot of the work. You know, making Sofia look good, and Sofia doesn't need too much help looking good, but she definitely looked really good. So fantastic to have a new funny lesbian on Saturday Night Live, and really great to see Modern Family's hot Sofia Vergara just looking hot, basically, and making fun of herself looking hot with her hot accent. It's all hot. That's all I got to say. Modern Family, Jerry Nunn, one of our corresponding interviewers for the Queercast, and you can read his interviews in Windy City Times weekly. Sat down with Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family to talk with him. We've got that interview today, and so it's Modern Family because we're a modern family here at the Windy City Queercast.
First you train, then you triumph. Join the Team to End AIDS Endurance Training Program and in a few months complete a marathon, half marathon, or a triathlon. Every 9.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. is infected with HIV. Change the story by supporting the AIDS Foundation of Chicago as they prepare you to go the distance in your event. Inspiring fitness, lasting friendships, saving lives. That's the Team to End AIDS. Register today at teamtoendaids.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Dante Parrish has been sentenced to life in prison after being found guilty of murdering openly gay teen Jason Madison. 3 years ago, Madison, who was 15 at the time, was found dead in a Baltimore house. The victim was in a closet with a pillowcase stuffed in his mouth. His throat had been cut and he had been sexually assaulted. Parrish had been sentenced to 30 years in jail in 1999 for murdering a man. However, he was released in 2009.
Activist and former athlete Corey Johnson is entering the race to succeed out New York City Councilwoman Christine Quinn. Johnson, age 29, is one of four LGBT candidates hoping to replace Quinn. He blogs for the gay website Towel Road and is also community board chairman for New York City. Quinn, whose term expires next year, is expected to run for mayor.
An Elon University poll has found that 6 out of 10 North Carolina residents oppose a proposed constitutional amendment that would ban same-sex marriage in the state. While only 38% of respondents said they support marriage equality, a majority, 60%, said they are opposed to Amendment 1, while 32% said that they favor the amendment. Voters will decide on the measure during North Carolina's May 8 primary.
In Anchorage, Alaska, voters rejected a proposal to add legal protections for LGBT individuals. Proposition 5 failed, 58% to 42%. The initiative had bipartisan support as both the Republican and Democratic U.S. senators supported the measure. Alaska does not have a law prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation. However, the state's constitution bans same-sex marriage.
A University of Michigan study has found that gay, lesbian, and bisexual, or GLB, college students who experience subtle discrimination are at increased risk of having a problem with alcohol compared to their heterosexual counterparts. The study also found that GLB students who knew others who were subjected to hostility were at increased risk for having a drinking problem.
Lambda Legal and more than 100 civil rights, faith, and community organizations filed a friend of the court brief in Arizona versus the U.S. The brief argues that State Bill 1070, or the Support Our Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act, will lead to racial profiling, discrimination, and anti-immigrant extremism.
In New York City, art photographer Yannis Delatolis has said he was gay-bashed at a Brooklyn bar while dozens of witnesses failed to help. Delatolis took his dog, Tulip, to the hipster bar Mission Dolores when another man reportedly cut in front of him in line and said an anti-gay slur when Delatolis protested. After a shouting match, one of the man's friends allegedly attacked Delatolis.
In California, transgender rights advocate Alexis Rivera died March 28th at the age of 34. Rivera died of HIV-related complications.
In Ohio, Lambda Legal filed suit against Wayne Local School District on behalf of Waynesville High School student Maverick Couch. Last April, on the National Day of Silence, Couch wore a t-shirt to school that featured a rainbow sign of the fish along with the words, "Jesus is not a homophobe," and the principal ordered him to turn the shirt inside out. The school will now allow Couch to wear the shirt on the National Day of Silence only.
Philadelphia Gay News earned 10 awards from the local media association, which serves more than 2,000 member North American newspapers. This represents the largest number of awards ever given to a publication serving the LGBT community by a mainstream journalism organization. Now in its 36th year, Philadelphia Gay News received the second highest number of awards for weekly newspapers for its circulation category.
In New York City, lesbian chef Mirella Salemi was awarded $1.6 million after her boss repeatedly attempted to pray away her sexual orientation. Salemi was a chef at the eatery Mary Ann's on West Broadway for 6 years. She said owner Edward Globocar would hold regular prayer meetings in the restaurant to help convert gay employees, and he allegedly told employees who didn't agree with his views that they faced eternal damnation unless they repented.
In Michigan, 35-year-old transgender woman Coco Williams was fatally shot outside a Parkhurst area home. Witnesses told authorities that the suspects fled the scene in a gold vehicle.
In world news, in South Korea, popular actor Hong Suk-chan recently became the first out gay man in the country's history to discuss sex and sexuality on television. Hong, who is 41, was once the host of a children's show that was the country's equivalent of Sesame Street. In a recent poll, 70% of Koreans said homosexuality should be rejected.
Organizers of the Miss Universe beauty pageant are now saying that transgender contestant Jenna Talikova can compete after initially disqualifying her, as long as she meets the legal gender recognition requirements of Canada and the standards established by other international competitions. However, those requirements were not specified.
In Austria, Cardinal Christoph Schönborn is allowing a gay Catholic to serve on a parish council. Florian Stangl, 26, who lives in a registered domestic partnership, was overwhelmingly elected to the council recently, but a priest overruled the decision, which the archdiocese initially supported. However, Schönborn changed his mind after having lunch with Stangl and his partner.
Chilean legislators have passed a long-proposed anti-discrimination law in the wake of a fatal assault against a 24-year-old gay man, Daniel Zamudio. Zamudio had been brutally attacked by four men claiming to be neo-Nazis who allegedly carved swastikas into the victim's body.
In South Africa, a second man has come forward in the case of honeymoon murder suspect Shreen Dewani, claiming he and the accused criminal had kinky gay sex sessions. The man, a 53-year-old political aide, said he had sex with Dewani in a private room at The Hoist, a London gay fetish club. Dewani is accused of masterminding his wife Annie's murder in Cape Town in November of 2010.
In Liberia, an anti-gay group called the Movement Against Gays in Liberia is allegedly distributing a list of people suspected of being gay, and followers have pledged to get them one by one. Liberian lawmakers currently are considering a bill that would criminalize same-sex marriages.
In entertainment news, investigators reportedly found evidence of cocaine not far from the hotel tub where superstar singer Whitney Houston was found dead. Official documents show one of the items police recovered was white, powdery remnants. Sources said the powder was tested, and it was cocaine.
Rosie O'Donnell is putting her Miami home up for sale. She's listed her 11,000-square-foot Star Island estate for $19.5 million. She bought it in 1999 for $6.75 million. Recently, she sold her Chicago home for $2.5 million in the wake of her own talk show being canceled.
Outdiver Matthew Mitchum scored perfect 10s during Australia's trials for the 2012 Summer Olympics. Mitchum scored perfect 10s from seven judges on his fifth dive in the 10-meter platform final. Mitchum, 24, last scored perfect 10s in April of 2011 and then shredded a stomach muscle. Mitchum, the defending Olympic champion, is heavily favored to be included on the national diving team.
Sundance Institute has announced the 8 projects chosen from nearly 900 submissions to participate in the 2012 Theater Lab this summer. 2 of them address LGBT themes. One is Funhouse, Janine Tesori and Lisa Krohn's musical adaptation of the graphic novel by the lesbian writer cartoonist Alison Bechtel, and Hands by Ken Greller looks at the friendship between Alex and Ray over 22 years and includes Alex beginning the process of gender transition.
And Neil Patrick Harris will host the Tony Awards for the 3rd time in 4 years when the 66th annual event airs live from New York's Beacon Theater Sunday, June 10th on CBS. It has currently stars as Barney Stinson on the hit CBS sitcom, How I Met Your Mother. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Not at the Movies Minute. Openly gay writer Terrence Davies, noted for his gorgeously photographed, nostalgic film set in early 1950s London of his childhood, returns to that time period in his adaptation of Terrence Rattigan's 50s-era play, The Deep Blue Sea, Davies' first narrative film in over a decade. With its stately pace, painterly-like cinematography by Florian Hofmeister, use of Samuel Barber's classical violin concerto, and especially the complex performances of Rachel Weisz, Tom Hiddleston, and Simon Russell Beale, Davies' movie is a triumph of style and substance, a rare distinction that he has managed time and again. The material focuses on Hester, the unhappy wife of a wealthy, prominent British judge, who leaves him for a hot affair with a psychologically damaged war vet, but then increasingly questions her choice. As the movie opens, Hester's suicidal, and at its fade-out, her prospects don't seem much brighter. Weisz, who has no hesitation about plunging to the depths of her rather fraught character, gives Hester a vivid intensity that makes you believe that happiness is out of reach for a woman whose passion and intelligence is tamped down by the two men on either side of her and the constraints of the society around her. Adding an odd undertow to the emotional goings-on, both male characters set off my gaydar, big time. Though this certainly wasn't the intention of Rattigan, and probably wasn't of Davies either, this extra psychological layer added a very interesting twist in my mind, and might do the same for like-minded queer audience film fans looking for another reason to check out The Deep Blue Sea as if they needed one. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 9th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Gay Play Weekend, April 13th through 15th, features 4 new plays and 1 new musical with subjects ranging from gay soldiers to Marilyn Monroe to a hot gay thruple. Gay Play Weekend is guaranteed to entertain and come help impact the next generation of gay theater. Gay Play Weekend, presented by Pride Films and Plays, April 13th through 15th at the Center on Halsted. Visit pridefilmsandplays.com for the full schedule.
On Sunday, April 15th at 5 p.m., the incomparable Cameron Carpenter brings his prodigious virtuosity to University of Chicago's Rockefeller E.M. Skinner Organ, with a program including selections from his own Visions of the Organ from Space science fiction series and dazzling and unconventional arrangements of classics. For information on this free concert, visit rockefeller.uchicago.edu.
Performer Holly Hughes speaks at Remy Bumpo about art and activism in America on Sunday, April 14th, before the matinee performance of Chesapeake, a one-person comedy about a right-wing senator, the performance artist he demonizes, and a lovable dog named Lucky. Get tickets for this thought-provoking matinee event at remybumpo.org.
The Auditorium Theater presents Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, the most celebrated modern dance company in the world, April 11th through the 15th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Broadway legends Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne are brought to life on stage in Northlight Theater's Ten Chimneys. This revealing new take on America's greatest acting duo and their renowned Wisconsin retreat is marvelously wry and witty, says KBAQ Phoenix, and sparkling, says the Milwaukee Journal. Tickets at Northlight.org.
Victory Gardens Theater presents We Are Proud to Present a Presentation, A brave, funny new play about a group of actors who lose control of their play. Tickets at victorygardens.org, direct from the festival that brought you Chad Deity. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Linda Etter, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
That was a blast seeing you on there. So, it was really fun.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun to do.
I heard you're rooting for Sharon or Latrice.
Yeah, they're my favorites. You know, when we filmed it so long ago, so I didn't have a point of reference for anyone. So, like, my only exposure to them was that runway at the end of the episode. You didn't get a feel on who anyone was.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Sharon was kind of like, she scared me a little bit, but now I've grown to love her after watching the other episode before it. So I think she's great.
Yeah. Well, Fifi we see all the time because she's in Chicago, so all that. Yeah. So, it was interesting. I didn't realize that you have a big musical theater background.
Yeah,
you're the original Spelling Bee guy.
I am.
So, that's awesome. I love that show. And that must have been a big step for you, I'm sure.
It was awesome.
Now, how'd you get involved with this, with the movie, One Night Stand?
I had done other work with Ted Sperling, and his sister is one of the producers on it. So I'd always wanted to do it. It looked like a really fun thing to do. I had friends who'd done the 24-hour plays, and it just seemed like a crazy, insane kind of communal experience that I thought would be really fun to try. And then they were experimenting with this musical version of the 24-hour plays, and being a musical theater performer, I think it's the top of the list of people that they wanted to work with. So I sort of got involved that way.
Okay. So it's a regular thing they do with plays, but not with a musical usually.
They had done it with plays, I think, for maybe 3 years before they started doing it with musicals, maybe three to five years or something. Okay. And it had been a big success, and they weren't sure if they'd be able to do it with a musical just because there's so many other elements involved.
Yeah.
And it
was a fundraiser, right? Did they raise money?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. What fundraiser was it for?
I can't remember what we were raising money for.
I wasn't clear on that either.
What's that?
I wasn't clear on that either, from watching it, but I'll find out.
Yeah, that's Googleable.
Yeah. So were you just scared to death? I mean, it's pretty crazy. It looked insane from the movie.
Honestly, like, to learn a song for a musical, it's like really, learn all the harmonies and then put together if you're going to, if it's going to be choreographed and all that. I mean, that alone would take, for me, not being the quickest learner, a week. And so to have, a handful of hours to try and put something together was really scary. But the great thing about that, about the 24-hour musicals is that you're doing it with three or four other actors who are just as talented and just as scared, so you can sort of share that experience with them and help each other through it.
Sure.
But it's terrifying and at the same time extremely liberating because you just kind of have to throw out choices. You don't have time to like really think about what am I going to do with this character and how am I going to bring it to life. You just kind of have to throw yourself full throttle into it and do it, and that's very liberating, actually.
Yeah. Cheyenne sings so well. I love him. He's so great.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's amazing, and he learns music so fast. So he carried us through a lot of that stuff. And he was so patient with specifically me, who's not the quickest learner. So, I'm so grateful that we had him in our piece because he was sort of the backbone for for us, at least vocally.
Yeah. Now, was this the first time you were playing a surgeon, right?
Yes.
So this is your first surgeon role?
Yes, probably first and last.
And Rachel was in it too. She's friends of yours, right?
Rachel's she's done the 24-hour plays, so that's how she got involved. She's been working with them for a few years, and we were kind of hoping that we would get paired together, which didn't happen. But she was also in a really fun piece, and it was fun kind of freaking out with her because she's not really totally comfortable doing musical theater in general. So for her, that was another, at least, you know, I'd done a Broadway musical. She was, you know, sort of new to that. So it was really kind of terrifying for her on a whole other level.
Yeah. Have you read her book yet?
I just ordered it on Amazon yesterday, actually. So
perfect. Okay.
She told me she would give me a copy, but I told her I wanted to pay for it. So I bought it on Amazon yesterday.
Nice. Okay. Do you have a favorite musical of all time yourself that you've gone to see or want to be in? Or?
I love Into the Woods.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I'm a big Sondheim fan. I love She Loves Me.
Uh-huh. Okay. I don't know that one. To look that one up.
Yeah, it's very good.
So are you enjoying your time off for Modern Family? You have a little bit of break right now, right?
I am. I'm staying very busy with, I'm actually busier now than I was when I was working. At least when I was working, I had a schedule of some places I had to be, and now with, you know, weeks off, I'm sort of trying to catch up on all the stuff that I put off all year. So, you know, everything from, like, the dentist to, like, you know, getting tailoring done on things that, like, I haven't, you know.
So it's like normal life. It's not.
I'm doing normal life stuff, but I'm trying to cram it all in my hiatus.
Yeah. Also, we want to mention, you know, you did the Dustin Lance Black play recently, too.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I had very little to do in it. It's an ensemble piece, and, you know, and a lot of really amazing people were taking very small sort of cameo-sized roles, and I probably was actually on stage for about 75 seconds, but, like, it was a really great experience and for such a great cause. It was to support the American Foundation for Equal Rights,
right.
You know, who's fighting for marriage equality. So it was a really fantastic fundraiser, and the play really kind of resonated in a way that I wasn't expecting it to. I was afraid that it would be a little dry, you know, being court transcripts and all, but it was actually extremely entertaining and moving and very funny, actually.
Great. Now, are you married currently or just with
your
partner? But you have a partner, Justin, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day.
we want you to win an Emmy. This is not fair that, you know, your partner got one and you know.
Well, listen, we've only gone through two Emmy Awards seasons, so we can't be too upset right now.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm Susan Lucci or something.
No. And, you know, but to me it was like giving, you know, Laverne the award, not Shirley. You know, we got to get you.
Oh, that's very sweet. And Erica was he told me the first thing he said was, you know, this is ours together. I mean, you know, I'll take it home. But, like, he couldn't have done the role without, you know, Mitchell. And I think that's true of all of the couples on our show. I think that, you know, they're one half of a pair, and it's the partnership and the chemistry that sort of make our cast work. So, but, you know, you can't saw those Emmys in half. And unfortunately, Eric can't be nominated for Best Actress while I'm nominated for Best Actor. So, you know, the situation that Ty and Julie found themselves in, where they both won, is a bit of sexism, if you ask me.
My favorite favorites is the Spider-Man. When you were Spider-Man, oh my gosh, that was the best. Yeah, so any more future projects, or do you go right into filming Modern Family again? Or
I have a hiatus until early August, and right now I'm there's nothing that I'm currently planning on doing this summer other than relaxing a little bit and doing some reading that I've been putting off. So, but other than that, I'm not filming anything or doing a play or anything. This hiatus.
Yeah. Well, we wish you'd come to Chicago and for this film festival, because I would love to meet you face-to-face.
Oh, well, I probably won't get up there for it, but actually, I don't even know when it is, but...
It's the 16th, so it's really soon.
I don't think I'll be there. But please tell everyone I said hi.
I will, and, you know, come to, like, a gala or something, a quality thing that we do here in the community here in Chicago. We'd love to see you, so... Yeah. Well, have a great day, Jesse, and I'll get you a link to this interview.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great week. Upcoming interviews. Ms. Cleo's back on the show, and man, she got some things to talk about. She was in Spain, and we're going to be talking about that and some of the hot news stories, you can imagine, that have been going on in Florida while she's been gone, and as she's gotten back, we'll talk about that and more. Also, Spider Saloff, the amazing jazz artist around Chicago, has a new one-woman show. We're going to be talking with Spider about her upcoming one-woman musical, Roar of the Butterfly, which will be hitting theaters in May before it heads to Off-Broadway. So a debut. Never had Spider on the show. Have heard her sing many times over the years and thrilled. This is very much a GLBT show, as it all takes place at a memorial service for a gay Asian drag queen. And her recounting that story, in the vein of Tracy Ullman doing characters and Lily Tomlin, Spider Saloff, putting her mark on that as well. I hope you guys have a great week. I'm going to close Enron. I hope you can come and see it. You've only got 6 more shows, and then, you know, we'll have many, many more Windy City Queercast shows. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Hey!